The world today is engulfed in conflicts and sufferings to such an extent that everyone longs for peace and happiness. That longing has unfortunately led them to be carried away by the pursuit of ephemeral pleasures. But there are a few learned people who, dissatisfied by what is ordinarily seen or experienced, think more deeply and search for true happiness. I believe that the search for truth will continue and will grow even keener as we make greater material progress. Human potential is the same for all. Your feeling, "I am of no value," is wrong, absolutely wrong. You are deceiving yourself. We all have the power of thought, so what are you lacking? If you have willpower, then you can do anything. It is usually said that you are your own master. We need to develop patience, but impatience can also be conducive for such activities as cleaning and walking. With this mind of impatience, one can become a woman or man of action. However, for bigger problems, patience is crucial. If one's life is simple, contentment has to come. Simplicity is extremely important for happiness. Having few desires, feeling satisfied with what you have, is very vital. Satisfaction with just enough food, clothing, and shelter to protect yourself from the elements. And finally, there is an intense delight in abandoning faulty states of mind and in cultivating helpful ones in meditation. The common enemy of all religious disciplines, the target of all moral precepts laid down by the great teachers of mankind, is selfishness of mind. For it is just this which causes ignorance, anger, and passion, which are at the root of all the troubles of the world. According to Tantra, the ultimate nature of mind is essentially pure. This pristine nature is technically called clear light. When this clear light nature of mind is veiled or inhibited from expressing its true essence by the conditioning of afflictive emotions and thoughts, the person is said to be caught in the cycle of existence, samsara. But when, by applying appropriate meditative techniques and practices, the individual is able to fully experience this clear light nature of mind, free from the influence of the afflictive states, he or she is on the way to true liberation and full enlightenment. Compassion, tolerance, and altruism bring us happiness and calmness. Therefore, these are basically spiritual. Religion comes later. Actually, religion is meant for satisfaction and is the ultimate source of happiness. It simply tries to strengthen the element of mental happiness. Perhaps positive mental thought is my conception of spirituality. We find that between the past and the future there is an extremely thin line, something that cannot really withstand analysis. Past and future exist in relation to the present, but if the present cannot be posited, how can past and future be posited? This is a demonstration of dependent origination. Happiness is a state of mind. With physical comforts, if your mind is still in a state of confusion and agitation, it is not happiness. Happiness means calmness of mind. Sexual desire, by definition, wants something. The satisfaction of desire by the possession of the other. To a large extent, this is a mental projection, provoked by a certain emotion. We imagine the other in our possession. At the moment of desire, everything seems agreeable and desirable. One sees no obstacle to it, no reason for restraint. The object desired seems to have no defects, to be worthy of all praise. But then, with possession, everything changes. Once the desire disappears, whether it considers itself satisfied or time passes and weakens it, we no longer look at the other in the same way. Some people admit they are stunned by this. Each one discovers the true nature of the other. That is why there are so many broken marriages, quarrels, lawsuits, and so much hatred. The image we have of ourselves readily tends to be complacent. We look at ourselves with indulgence. When something unpleasant happens to us, we always have the tendency to cast the blame on others or on fate, a demon or a god. We shrink from descending into ourselves, as the Buddha recommended. If an individual has a sufficient spiritual base, he won't let himself be overwhelmed by the lure of technology and by the madness of possession. He or she will know how to find the right balance without asking for too much, and know how to say, "I have a camera, that's enough, I don't want another." The constant danger is to open the door to greed, one of the most relentless enemies. It is here that the real work of the mind is put into practice. For a bodhisattva to be successful in accomplishing the practice of the six perfections of generosity, ethical discipline, tolerance, joyous effort, concentration, and wisdom, cooperation with and kindness toward fellow beings are extremely important. Suffering originates from various causes and conditions, but the root cause of our pain and suffering lies in our own ignorant and undisciplined state of mind. The happiness we seek can be attained only through the purification of our minds. In our world, we need a clear awareness of the interdependent nature of nations, of humans and animals, and of humans, animals, and the world. Everything is of interdependent nature. I feel that many problems, especially man-made problems, are due to a lack of knowledge about this interdependent nature. It is because of the intimate relationship between mind and body, and the existence of special physiological centers within our body, that physical yoga exercises and the application of special meditative techniques aimed at training the mind can have positive effects on health. It seems to me that Western science and Eastern philosophy can join together to create a really complete and full-fledged human being. It is only in this way that man will emerge strengthened from his fragmented condition and become whole. What in fact interests me is what is beyond matter and awareness, what really is important, and what makes us what we are.